exceeded this estate of Nevada Tax Commission, Nevada Department of Taxation versus American Home Shield of Nevada. This is 55470. If the parties are ready, please proceed.
Good morning. Mr. Chief Justice, Justices, may it please the court. I'm Senior Deputy Attorney General Dion Contine, and I represent the Nevada Department of Taxation and the Nevada Tax Commission, the appellant in this matter before you today. Initially, I would like to note my intention to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. So we are here today because American Home Shield made a mistake. It made a mistake when it included on its insurance premium tax return and submitted taxes on transactions that were both subject to and exempt from taxation. It made the mistake in 2003, 2004, 2005, and 2006. And this mistake has created two issues that are on appeal before you here today. The first issue is whether NRS 680B-120, which is the refund of overpayments provision that applies to erroneous payments of insurance tax premiums, applies to AHS's refund request. And the department submits that it does for three reasons. The first reason is that NRS 680B applies in this case because AHS erroneously paid insurance premium tax. It was a self-assessing, self-reporting, self-calculating taxpayer. And for the years that it made this mistake, it calculated the amounts that were due, and it included the amounts for both exempt and contracts that were subject to taxation. The second rule is that it is a general rule that tax refunds asserted on exempt transactions are subject to the limitation period under which they were paid. And I believe that general rule can be adopted in Nevada very easily, given this court's holding in Washoe County versus Golden Road, which says that if a statutory procedure exists, either for the erroneous or for recovery of taxes erroneously collected or for challenging an assessment, then that procedure must be followed. In this case, there is a statutory limitation period, and that period is found in NRS Chapter 680B.120, and based on this court's holding in Washoe County versus Golden Road, it should be followed. Third, it is a longstanding law in Nevada that a state agency is a creature of statute and therefore can only act within the authority given to it by the legislature. And in other jurisdictions, it has been generally held that the right to tax, the right to refund, and the right to give interest on tax refunds is a creature of statutory origin. In this case, if NRS 680B.120 does not govern AHS's refund request, there is simply no statutory authority for the refund, and there would be no refund at all for any of the years that AHS made the mistake.
Ms. Contine, what about the argument on the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights that if there's any ambiguity, that laws should be construed in favor of the taxpayer on the refund period?
I don't believe that there's any ambiguity in this case. The provision in 680B applies to erroneous insurance premium taxes. There's not a confusion. There's not differing provisions. There's not regulations that deal with it one way and statutes that deal with it in another way. So I just don't think the Taxpayer Bill of Rights means that I don't like the law or the law. I don't like the law that it applies to me, and therefore it's not fair or it should not be used in this case. The Taxpayer Bill of Rights is so that taxpayers...
Well, let's explore this ambiguity question with one additional question, if I could. 680B, as I understand it, says fees, charges, or taxes imposed by this code. Now, I assume in granting the refunds for the other 2 years, the Tax Commission concedes that the payments were not for taxes or fees or charges imposed by this code.
Well,
so the funds that are now being sought would seem to be funds outside of those imposed by this code. If that's true, does 680B really apply?
Well, 2 points I'd like to make on that. I believe that they are taxes imposed by this code because they were self-assessed and self-reported and included along with other taxes that were paid pursuant to this code. So I believe that they are taxes imposed by this code. Now, if they are not, I would say that you still need some statutory authority to give.
Well, I understand that argument, but let's focus on the ambiguity question. Isn't this reasonably susceptible to two different interpretations?
Well, I don't think that it. I think that the department would consistently apply a statute of limitations for a chapter under which the taxes were paid, regardless of whether the taxpayer paid taxes for exempt transactions. For instance, if a taxpayer paid taxes for services under NRS Chapter 372, which are not subject to taxation, it's only for tangible personal property, and then 10 years later requested a refund, that statute of limitations in 372 would also be applied in that case. Because I believe it's based on the policy that statutes of limitations have a purpose, and we've decided that that each of these provisions and in each of our different areas of law, that there is a time period, and if you don't have the time period in 680B, when you are the self-reporting, self-assessing taxpayer, then you would essentially have no statutory time period. And I believe you need.
But it sounds like you're asking us to interpret a statute of limitations statute to bar recovery for payments that aren't even covered by the very statute to which the limitation period applies.
Well, as I stated in my brief, and there is generally plenty of case law in other states that says if you erroneously pay taxes on exempt transactions, you're subject to the limitation period within the chapter in which you paid the taxes.
But don't those cases involve circumstances in which the erroneous payment is an overpayment of a tax that's covered by the code itself, as opposed to a payment for something that wasn't even taxed?
Well,
as in
two
this
of
case.
The cases, the Snake case and the May case, the items that were included in the calculations were exempt from transactions, and the court nevertheless said you're subject to the limitation period. And in the Snake case,
those involved exempt amounts. Here we're dealing with payments that weren't taxed at all in the first instance. They're not only not exempt, they're not taxable.
Well, I guess I interpret not taxable to be exempt.
Those aren't the same, are they?
And then they are specifically exempted. So it's an exempt transaction that they erroneously paid taxes on. So they paid taxes on some transactions that were subject to tax and also included amounts that were exempt from taxation. 690C contracts are specifically exempt from taxation. And in the Snake case, the court said there were two issues on appeal, and one of them was whether they paid tax on exempt amounts. And they said we did pay tax on exempt amounts. The lower court had found that they didn't. The Supreme Court reversed that and said they did pay tax on exempt transactions, but nevertheless held them to the limitation period, so they got everything, a refund for everything that they paid except for the 1 year period. And I think that there's important policy issues that are around statute of limitations is one of the reasons that the courts do that.
If I guess you want to question, why do you think the district court improperly relied on the Humboldt County versus Lander County case?
Well, I think because the argument that I was getting to is that as a creation of statute, you need statutory authority to give essentially to give the money back. And so if it's if there's not a tax, if there's not a statutory provision that applies, then there's no authority for the refund. And AHS did attempt to look to 360-2935, but that provision also applies to taxes paid by taxpayers. So if you have a tax, it's an insurance premium tax, and you're subject to 680B. If you don't have a tax, then you're not subject to 680B, but you wouldn't be subject to the authority in 360-2935 either. So the court's reliance on that somehow.
So your position would be that if you erroneously pay this, the common law of restitution in the absence of a specific statutory right would not allow you to recover?
Well, I don't know that the common law of restitution would not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying then you would seek that relief through the common law of restitution. But what AHS did is, if you notice that on the letters, they wrote to the Department of Taxation and said that we've erroneously paid 680B taxes. And so tell us what to do to get our erroneous tax payment back. So there could be a situation where if it wasn't determined to be a tax payment, you would look at other remedies. How do I get money back that the state holds?
Why wouldn't you interpret 360-2935's language that says, except as otherwise provided, a taxpayer is entitled to receive on any overpayment of taxes a refund?
Well,
that seems to me to be the most general refund statute, crediting your argument that these people should be proceeding under a statutory refund statute because they asked the commission for its money back.
Right. And if you look at the language of 360-2935, it applies to taxpayers and overpayment of tax. Well, AHS is not is claiming that they didn't pay a tax. So 360 also applies to taxpayers and overpayments of tax. But that's not what the argument is. The argument is that this wasn't a tax. And if it wasn't a tax, they're not a taxpayer, and 362935 doesn't provide the statutory authority. And so then you would look, because I kind of played this out, if you don't have the statute, how do you get your money back? And then you would go to some other, either a remedy where you can sue or some other chapter, maybe the controller's chapter would allow you to recover money that the state holds. But if you
counsel, your argument seems to be that the one-year statute of limitations applies to any refund request, even those which are not covered by the code. But no refund is owed because it isn't a tax that was paid.
Well, no, I'm saying that if
isn't that what you just told Justice Pickering?
I'm saying that if you argue as AHS has argued that it's not a tax.
So we shouldn't interpret their request to the commission as one for restitution or any other claim that would form a basis for refund for amounts that they'd never owed in the first place?
Well, I think to interpret these types of claims that way would basically eviscerate statute of limitations in tax cases. There is a point when
why wouldn't you then use Chapter 11, the general statute of limitations statutes, and 11190 sub 5 has a 1 year on suits against an officer,
right,
who collected taxes. Now, probably not an officer in this case, but then there's the general default in 220, which is 4 years, I think,
well,
maybe
right.
Three. Wouldn't you get into those statutes then at that point?
Well, I guess if that was the remedy, but that wasn't the remedy. That wasn't the remedy used here. The remedy used here was to seek a refund of erroneous tax payment from the Department of Taxation. So I think it's possible that you could use those remedies, but I think the department has to follow what the statute says and the statutory authority that they're given. So in that case, they need to be subject to the limitation period that that governs the Department of Taxation. Gone completely over. Are there any more questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Kara Hendricks, and I'm here on behalf of the respondent, American Home Shield of Nevada, Inc. There are several undisputed facts that are important to the court's analysis. It is undisputed that the money American Home Shield seeks to recover is money that was paid to the state for service warranties. It is undisputed that service warranties are not taxed as insurance and are, in fact, are not insurance. It is undisputed that American Home Shield paid a fine of over $167,000 to the state because they reported the service warranties as insurance when, in fact, they were not. It is also undisputed that no tax is due at the point of sale for service warranties. Despite these undisputed facts, the state comes before the court and requests that you apply a one-year statute of limitations that is specific to insurance. We believe such an application is contrary to the plain meaning of the statute. It unjustly enriches the state, and it does not promote any kind of stability or predictability for the taxpayers. What I would like to do is to address some of the fundamental differences between American Home Shield's position and the state's position and touch on some of the questions that were raised by the court during the state's argument. The first is the plain language of NRS 680B.120. With the court's indulgence, I would like to read it into the record and emphasize two important provisions. NRS 680B.120 provides any person from whom fees, charges, or taxes imposed by this code have been erroneously collected may apply for a refund at any time within 1 year after the date such fees, charges, or taxes were originally required to be paid. As Justice Hardesty pointed out, there was no tax imposed by the insurance code for the service warranties that American Home Shield sold. The second important distinction, or the second part of the statute that I would like to emphasize, is that the one-year limitation period begins to run when the tax was originally required to be paid. It is undisputed, Your Honors, that there was no tax required to be paid on these service warranties. The state's position, taken to its logical conclusion, is if you report a certain tax payment, whatever you report it as is what statute of limitation provides. Whatever you report the tax as is what limitation period you're restricted to. In other words, if American Home Shield would have reported the initial tax as a sales and use tax, then the sales and use tax would apply. This is illogical and creates more confusion for the state because then a taxpayer can review the code, pick any statute that they would like, pay the taxes under that code, and that code now applies. That doesn't make any sense.
How do you trigger the statute of limitations under your theory then?
That is a good question because there's not a specific statute on point that triggers a limitation period for American Home Shield's claim.
So it could be 30 years from now or something if this had gone on.
Unless the legislature provides some specific guidelines, it could be 30 years from now. I think even if you look at, for example, the unclaimed properties statute, there's not a defined period to claim that property. There's not anything specified in the statutes right now that provide a time frame for the request. Would we have liked to make the request sooner? Absolutely, but that's not what happened here. And we believe that, you know, looking at the Humboldt County case, for example, which Your Honor raised, in Humboldt County, the real issue before the court was what do you do when a public entity retains money they were never entitled to collect? And the court holding in Humboldt County was that they are compelled to make restitution.
In fact, couldn't you have filed a lawsuit in district court alleging restitution and that statute of limitations and seek to get the money back on that basis as opposed to going through the tax commission?
Then I would have been accused of not following my administrative remedies, because what we have here is because the money was paid to the Department of Taxation, I am now bound by the Department of Taxation's guidelines and procedures. So if I would have filed a suit, which, you know, if, for example, American Home Shield would have overpaid the power company, which they amounts that they owed the phone company, I could have sued the power company for unjust enrichment and those type of claims. But as far as the state entity goes, I'm bound by what the statute says and what guidelines the statutes provide me to get that money back.
Could I ask you about your reading, though, of 680B120, which you allowed to us. If your theory of that statute is correct, would it ever apply literally to a claim for refund, because presumably a refund claim is for a tax erroneously assessed, but you're saying in essence that it had to have been properly assessed for this statute to apply. So you come full circle and that statute means nothing then.
The statute does have meaning in the specific context of insurance and insurance lines of business. The way that insurance tax code works is that the insurers are required to make quarterly reports to the state to get their tax, to other taxes, and at the end of the year they'll go back and sort those out. So for an insurance company, if an insurance company reported for the first quarter that they sold 100 policies, at the end of the year they realized they only sold 75 policies, they could use the statute of limitations to get that money back. And in fact, if you look at the record in this case, after the audit that American Shield went through, there were actually insurance contracts and service warranties that were sold during the applicable time frame. American Home Shield is not seeking a refund for the amounts that were actually for service contracts. The only refund American Home Shield is seeking is for service warranties. And I know it's rather confusing, but it may help if I provide some background regarding the transition, because in 1999, the legislature enacted the service contract provision. In 2003, there was a change in how home insurance policies were classified. And when the legislature made the change in 2003, it brought Nevada in line with the rest of the country in specifying that home protection policies, and specifically agreements for services and repairs on appliances, was not deemed insurance. And when that statutory change occurred and the change in definition occurred, American Home Shield applied for a license to sell home protection policies as a service contract provider. And if you look at the two forms, they were virtually identical. You had a service, an insurance form. In the bottom corner, there would be a number. You had a service contract form. In the bottom corner, there would be a number. And to the uneducated person, you look at the two forms, you would not see any difference. The only way you could tell the difference was between the actual number that was coded on the policy. And that's what the audit did, is they went through and straightened those out. Because there was a lot of concern on how American Home Shield would make the transition. American Home Shield had been doing business in Nevada for 17 years prior to this change as an insurance provider exclusively. They talked to the Division of Insurance, they talked to the Department of Taxation to try to find out how to make this transition. And there was a lot of mixed signals from the state. Some said, well, now that the legislature has said service warranties are not taxable, anything that American Home Shield sold would not be taxable. There were others that said, well, if you have policies in place that were approved as insurance contracts, you have to run those policies out. So the transition wasn't just something that can happen by a snap of a fingers. What ended up happening is the state ended up requiring, ultimately, to run off the old policies. And so if a realtor had a policy in their book that was an insurance policy, because a lot of times these service warranties would be sold when somebody purchased a new house, if a realtor had an old form that was an insurance form, American Home Shield would be required to pay taxes on that insurance form. So it took a while to sort it out and get all the new policies in place and to make the smooth transition. But to your point, Justice Pickering, when it comes to the taxes and the applicability of NRS 680B.120, if it was insurance, we are not claiming that the statute of limitations doesn't apply. And in fact, for 2000...
Percent to what statutory remedy, then, are you seeking this refund?
We are seeking the refund under the general tax statute, and that is NRS 680B.0... Oh, hang on one second. I want to make sure I give you the right statute. We are seeking it under NRS 360.2935. And that statute is a general tax statute that provides, except as otherwise provided in the tax title, a taxpayer is entitled to receive on any overpayment of taxes after the offsets that have been after the offsets required by NRS 360.320 have been made, a refund together with interest at a rate determined pursuant to the statutory rate.
And what statute of limitations applies, in your estimation, to claims under that section?
Well, the interesting thing about that section is it does make reference to the other tax provisions, and it makes references to the tax title. It's except as otherwise provided in this title, where it references the tax title. If you go to the tax title, there are limitations for, like, financial institutions, for your sales and use tax. There are different provisions within the tax code that do have specific limitations. But in this instance, there is not a specific limitations, and therefore, we don't believe that American Home Shield missed any deadline, and there's any basis for the state to retain the funds that were
collected. So there's no statute of limitations on a claim under 360-2935?
Not generally, no.
And what about 11-190 and 220, the general statute of limitations?
11-190, that would depend on the specific type of services that were provided. We haven't seen anything that's specific to service warranties or just the general proposition that indicates if you pay money to the state that it was never entitled to collect, how do we get that money back?
Yeah, I think I had the same concern as Justice Pickering, is that if that's true, wouldn't 11-190 subsection 5 kick in, which has a one-year statute of limitations, which would parallel the 680B120? So
and that's something that was never raised in the lower court and has never been raised by the respondent. Well, indulge me for just a minute. I want to pull it up so that I'm looking at the same thing that you are. And the one of the problems that American Home Shield had from the beginning is as a taxpayer under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, we're entitled to go to the state and say, how do we get our money back? Which provisions apply? And the state really, first they didn't respond. And then when they finally did respond, they sent us specifically to NRS 690B120. And they have not provided the taxpayer in this case a lot of guidance regarding, you know, how they actually get their money back. I think the Taxpayer Bill of Rights is very important. And that, of course, is codified in NRS 360-291. And under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, The American Home Shield is entitled to be treated with fairness, with uniformity, with consistency. They're entitled to have statutes imposing any regulations construed in their favor. And that just has not happened to date in this case, or in the state's position. There's not a basis to do that. But obviously, we're here today because there's some ambiguity.
Counsel, wait, if I could summarize the way I see it, and I don't know if my six colleagues see it this way, but assuming we agree with your argument, 680B.120 is ambiguous, you can construe different meanings on it, and 360.2935 kicks in, which is part of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights provision. Mm-hmm. I don't see it that there's no statute of limitations. I think there has to be one, and then maybe that kicks back into 11-190 subsection 5, which is 1 year and all. So if you can convince me that there is no statute of limitations and go on in perpetuity to make these claims, then that might be a good argument. But tell me why I'm wrong there.
Well, I think I understand the court's position and the importance of having some kind of bar or a deadline. But even if you look at the tax provision that you referenced, it doesn't specifically apply to overpayments of taxes. And I think the legislature could make it apply, and there could be some better language that would put an end to this and cap the time within which American Home Shield could apply to get this money back. I just don't see that in the legislation that exists currently. And that's why we went to the Humboldt County case and the principles of equity and
that is, if there's a statutory scheme, though, that doesn't, the equity doesn't apply. You wanted to go under the statutory scheme and follow what the Department of Taxation said. So it seems to me you can't have your cake and eat it, too. You got to elect your remedy here.
I understand. And I think if there were a specific statute of limitations that applied to overpayments, that's what the court would have to look at. I'm not confident that the provision that you referenced.
Well, is that really something this court should look at, Ms. Hendrick? The Department of Taxation in its order never talked about Chapter 11 or some of these other alternative statute of limitations. They didn't pick any other one other than 680B, did they?
They did not. And I think that's an important distinction that Justice Hardesty is. They just 680B, That's what we have focused on. They've never made a claim in any other statute. They've never made any indication under any other statute that American Home Shield should not be entitled to get the money they paid in error back.
Could I ask one follow-up question?
Please.
As I read your brief, you were also arguing that 372.635's three-year statute of limitations would be analogous and apply.
We offered that in the initial district court stage as an alternative because, again, the statute that Your Honor picked out and focused on was never offered by the state. And we said, well, if there's a different statute of limitations that applies, let us know what that is. And we threw out there, you know, for example, if it was a sales and use tax, then there's the three-year statute of limitations. We've never claimed that the money that we paid was a sales and use tax. We threw it out there as an alternative. And really, as the taxpayer, put the burden back on the state, pursuant to the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, to tell us, how do we get our money back? What is the procedure that we need to follow?
So you're not directly claiming that 372.635 supplies the applicable statute of limitations?
That's correct. We're not making that claim.
Thank you.
But you are arguing that the burden for doing so rests with the state, not the taxpayer.
Under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, I believe that's correct.
Mm-hmm. We'll give the state 3 minutes to respond.
Thank you. So quickly, I just want to start out by saying that the department responded to AHS because the department believed that 680B applied. The department believed that it was a tax, and they believed that it was an erroneous payment of insurance premium tax, and it indicated to AHS how it goes about getting a refund on an erroneous payment of insurance premium tax. The department didn't think this was a restitution case. It thought it was a tax case, and so that's why it told it to make the refund pursuant to 680B. And the department has always maintained that 680B, that it was an erroneous payment of insurance premium tax, and therefore 680B is applicable.
If the department loses that position, what statute of limitations do you contend applies, and did you assert that before the tax commission or in the district court?
Well, I believe that you need statutory authority in order for a state agency to exercise any authority. So if 680B doesn't apply, AHS has argued that 360 applies, but again, that goes to taxes and taxpayers, which they're claiming that this is not. And so then if you think about what other ways to get your money back, I wasn't thinking about that when they made the argument. I've worked it through with my logical thinking the state needs a statutory provision, and they didn't choose to exercise any of those other remedies. They chose to ask the Department of Taxation for a tax refund. And you know, I just want to talk
so counsel,
a little bit.
If I could follow up on that point, if the state receives money or property for an unspecified reason, in the absence of a statute that obligates the state to give the money or property back, your contention is the state gets to retain it.
I'm not saying that. Because there are situations where maybe a taxpayer or someone that thinks they're a taxpayer would be assessed an amount and have to pay it. What I'm saying is that in situations where taxpayers are self-assessing, they calculate the amounts.
No, I understand all those arguments, but...
No, but they're self-assessing, they're self-reporting. The department nor the Division of Insurance would have any way to know about this erroneous payment. Most taxpayers' word is taken when they submit their returns. The only time this issue would ever come up would be in an audit, and that's not done by the department. It's done by the division. So we wouldn't be in this case. I think that argument is valid because they are self-assessing, self-reporting, and they weren't assessed any amounts by the department that they were forced to pay.
Thank you. We thank counsel for their arguments as to this interesting topic this morning. This matter will stand submitted. We're in recess till this afternoon.